My guest at this time is New Jersey Republican Congressman Chris Smith. He represents the Garden State's 4th Congressional District and is widely regarded as one of the top pro-life voices in the House of Representatives. As he always does about this time, on Monday, Congressman Smith took part in the March for Life, which is the annual march of pro-life activists, to the Supreme Court to protest what is now 39 years of legal abortion in this country through the Roe v. Wade decision in January of 1973. He joins me now to explain what is on the pro-life agenda in Congress this year and why he believes this year's election is the most important ever in terms of the pro-life cause. And, sir, thank you very much for being with us.
Greg, thank you so very much for having me. Thank you for your excellent reporting.
Thank you, sir. Well, the message at the pro-life rallies is obviously pretty consistent from year to year, but what in particular did you focus on in your comments this year?
Well, I think people realize that President Obama, who is the abortion president, is an extremist. And in a second term, that extremism would only worsen because he wouldn't have any of the concerns about getting reelected again. And they have increasingly, with each passing year, gotten more vitriolic in their pro-abortion activism, especially as it relates to conscience. This president wants to tell everyone that they cannot resist complicity in abortion under pain of losing your status, your ability to get reimbursement under health care expenditures on the federal level. And so this extremism is all about, you know, complicity. You and I will have to become a part of the culture of death because he says so. And I have never seen such brazen, I mean, it really is the Planned Parenthood mentality. No conscience rights whatsoever.
Give a couple of specific examples of how this administration is doing that.
Well, they just recently, as a matter of fact, they made it even worse just a couple of days ago through, and that is they've ordered all health insurers, including faith-based institutions, to pay for all means of preventing pregnancy, including subsidizing abortifacients like Plan B and Ella. You know, that will mean that whether it be, you know, the University of Notre Dame or Ave Maria school, or any other faith-based organization, Catholic Charities, they will have to provide Plan B and Ella and all, like I said, all methods of contraception, including sterilization, in their health plan or lose the ability to operate. I mean, if that isn't coercive, if that doesn't it is so disrespectful of a religious freedom right. I mean, killing babies by way of early abortions is not health care. It is a Planned Parenthood and you know, pro-abortion mentality that deems some people as undesirable and unwanted and says you can get rid of them as if they were a tumor or a wart. Pregnancy is not a disease. They look at pregnancy as a disease to be vanquished and to have that fully paid for by taxpayers.
Congressman, in terms of the administration, there's been a lot of complaints recently on other issues, whether it's recess appointments or other steps taken that many people consider extra constitutional without congressional authority. Are these steps ones that would normally require some sort of congressional consent, or are these within the reasonably expected powers of the executive branch, no, even though the steps themselves you're obviously very much in disagreement with?
Sure. You know, I think this president has such a view, as does his administration, that they are not bound by the rule of law. They're not bound by the checks and balances that our founding fathers so wisely wrote into our Constitution and our, you know, which have served us so well. This administration is out of control, and on a whole variety of areas, probably the most extreme of which is in the abortion area. So, yeah, they're out of the mainstream. And while he talks a good game, matter of fact, even in the State of the Union, you know, the talk about returning to American values, killing unborn children by way of abortion and exporting it, trashing conscience rights, these are not American values. They're antithetical to everything we believe. We cherish life in this country. Thankfully, a majority of Americans agree with that. But, you know, when you have a president willing to use the coercive power of the state to achieve his goals, we have a very serious power monger in the White House. And I don't say that lightly, because I've been in Congress 32 years. I've written more laws on human rights than any other member of the House or Senate combined. including laws in combating human trafficking. And I have never seen such a misuse of power. And he has really given over to Planned Parenthood and NARAL and those abortion groups the ability to make policy. I'll give you one example. I wrote a trafficking law back in 2000 to stop the buying and selling of women and children with sex trafficking and labor trafficking. Well, the United States Catholic Conference of Bishops, the USCCB, got a $18 million grant under President Bush, and they have done a magnificent job in helping the victims of human trafficking. In comes President Obama, and when that grant ran out, they gave it to other organizations who pledged to refer for abortions. They gave it to organizations that scored poorly vis-a-vis the USCCB, because there is a scoring process done by professional reviewers at the Department of Health and Human Services, and they came in far below, 20 points below the United States Catholic Conference of Bishops, and they got the grant because they're willing to refer for abortions to Planned Parenthood. That is outrageous. Everything is trumped by whether or not the non-governmental organization or the you know, as we call it, an NGO, is willing to promote the abortion agenda. And that's what Obama is doing everywhere, in our AIDS programs overseas. Catholic Relief Services increasingly will lose as their projects run out to extremist pro-abortion groups that will incorporate it and integrate the abortion agenda with other things. So it's a very dangerous escalation of the war on the unborn child. A
couple minutes left in our conversation with New Jersey Congressman Chris Smith. And, sir, just looking at your remarks at the rally on Monday, towards the end of your speech, you said the 2008 election gave America the abortion president. You've certainly detailed why you believe that's the case. You also said the 2010 election gave America the most pro-life House of Representatives ever. Obviously, the numbers in the Senate and with Obama in the White House mean your pro-life agenda probably won't get a lot of traction outside the House. But if you could enact legislation this year, what kind of items are on the GOP agenda?
Sure. We would certainly move to provide a robust protection for conscience rights. We would make permanent, because right now if you have a violation of conscience and nurses, for example, are being told they must participate in abortion, they have to go to the Department of Health and Human Services, which is adamantly pro-abortion, to get a remedy. Occasionally a court will find it in our favor, but the course of remedy is to HHS. That is totally objectionable, and our new proposal, the Abortion Non-Discrimination Act, gets an access to the courts to find relief. We would like to do pain-capable protection for children, unborn children who are pain-capable, provide protections like some of our states are doing so well. We know that unborn children feel pain from at least the 20th week onward. Why is it that they get not only to die, killed, but they suffer? And that is largely underappreciated and unrecognized, so the law should reflect that when they are pain capable, they need protection. Of course, we want protection from the moment of conception, but we want to protect as many children as possible, and then a permanent ban on funding, and also the rein in on the NGOs. This administration has partnered with the most egregious violators of children's rights, Planned Parenthood in particular, at home and abroad, and they're promoting this agenda, this radical agenda, by just funding ad nauseum, with taxpayer funding, these non-governmental organizations who are accountable to no one, and certainly not to any kind of pro-life concern. So this is the most important election, in my opinion, ever. The White House has to change. If he gets a second term, he being Barack Obama, his extremism will only worsen, and I think it will worsen exponentially during those next 4 years, because he doesn't have to worry about the next election, and all that they're doing covertly will then become more overt, and they will throw caution to the wind, and this homosexual and pro-abortion agenda will be pushed on our country and on the world. So this is the election, and people need to realize that.
And that leads right into the final question, sir. You also say, make no mistake about it, with so much at stake, we don't have the luxury of disunity or nominee disappointment or apathy. And, of course, that comment comes in the midst of a very competitive Republican field right now. You've got supporters of some candidates saying, well, I like Gingrich, I can't stand Romney, or I like Romney, I can't stand Gingrich. one, or perhaps the way this cycle has gone, both of those groups of supporters could be disappointed in the end. What do you say to those folks who don't ultimately get their first choice as the nominee?
Well, I would say that all of our candidates that are running who are pro-life, and they are pro-life, would be an exponentially important increase, better than Barack Obama. He's the abortion president. If you want to see the killing fields continue unabated and expanded throughout the world, in Africa, Latin America, the Philippines, and Ireland, and so many places where this administration is pushing abortion, elect Barack Obama. If you want the family to be assaulted the way it is, you know, Hillary Clinton has made it very clear that our foreign policy is all about promoting LGBT, lesbian, bisexual, gay, and transgender rights. That's what this administration stands for. And thankfully, with our candidates, whether it be Romney or Newt Gingrich or any of the others, Rick Santorum, they are pro-life and they are pro-family. They believe in the centrality of the human family, one man, one woman, as husband and wife. And if you shatter the family, it's only a matter of time before the demise of that civilization. And this administration has co-opted the language of civil rights and human rights and applied it to the homosexual agenda as well as to the abortion agenda. So we don't have, as you quoted me, the luxury of disunity. We've got to rally as never before, because the stakes have never been higher. We will see the dismantling of faith-based health care under Obama. He's already started it. And they being the pro-abortion side, will buy Catholic hospitals at fire sale prices in his first or second year, as they were being ordered to include abortion as part of their basic services or else. This man has attacked conscience rights. He paid lip service to it at the infamous speech he gave in Notre Dame, and it turned out that all of that was a bald-faced lie and has not stood any kind of scrutiny. Daily, they are trying to push faith-based and religious freedom over the side and put in its stead an aggressively secularist health care, and again, the two pillars of this administration are abortion on demand and homosexual rights.
Congressman, you've laid out the case very effectively. Thank you, sir, very much for being with us today.
Greg, thank you so much for having me on tonight.
Thank you, sir. New Jersey Republican Congressman Chris Smith represents his state's 4th Congressional District and a longtime leading voice in the House of Representatives for the pro-life movement. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.